Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Happy Friday. It's December 2nd, 2022. Good to be with you live from the Ave Maria Studios in Ann Arbor, Michigan, as you just heard. And it's a big day here in our studios. We're celebrating 20 years of this program. And the man behind the microphone, or behind me, I should say, would be Andrew Krucek, my wonderful producer, who's been with me for 17 years on this show. So big kudos to Andrew. And we had a very nice little private celebration that the station threw for me, and it was so great to see so many people, including Jack Williams from EWTN Radio came up to say hi. And there were some great videos that were sent by many of the EWTN personalities and well-known hosts, and including, let's see, we had Doug Keck, and we had Matthew Bunsen, and we had Monsi Alvarado, and we had Tracy from, of course, EWTN News Nightly. It was just, and of course, Johnette Williams, just amazing, and so many people who sent in videos of congrats. So thank you so much. And congrats to all of you for supporting EWTN and Ave Maria Radio over the years, because it's not about just the personalities on the air. I know we're the ones who deliver the message, but you cannot do a radio show, especially one for 2 hours a day, as I do. Of course, if you're a new listener, I do a local hour as well for a Michigan audience. But you can't do something like this without a really great team behind you. And we're so blessed to work with the team at EWTN, where we've been syndicated, thanks be to God, for 15 years. And then 20 years on Ave Maria Radio. So if you know anyone in southeastern Michigan, let them know to come on by Domino's Farms in Ann Arbor, Michigan, Lobby C for Catholic. We are having an open house today. We're giving tours. And you can meet my producer, Andrew. Deacon Dom is here. We're going to be selling some of my books. We've got a raffle giveaway. We're going to have some food. I always have to keep people fed and watered, as I always say. But it's going to be a great day. Already having a lot of fun. And thanks again for supporting EWTN and your local Catholic radio networks. I think you're going to enjoy the show today. I hope you do. We've got Doug Keck coming up, Chief Operating Officer, and, of course, President of the network. We'll be talking about what's coming up in programming and what a beautiful time of year for that, being that it is the first week of Lent. Look, I'm jumping ahead to next year already. First week of Advent, which, of course, is wrapping up on Sunday already, the second week of Advent. So we'll find out what we have in store coming up in EWTM programming. And then the second part of the show, we are going to be talking with a new friend of mine, whom I met through our most recent pilgrimage, our Tees Italy Premier Pilgrimage, Dr. Scott French, who works very closely with the one, the only, Father Spitzer. Father Spitzer, to me, I can never, ever, ever, ever get enough of Father Spitzer's universe with Doug Keck. But Father Spitzer is such a joy. He's so intelligent and so knows so much about our Lord, our church, and life, and the way the world works. He's brilliant. And he's doing a lot of work recently on Eucharistic miracles, and Dr. Scott is helping him with that. And Dr. Scott has an incredible background to really explain Eucharistic miracles, especially from the physical perspective, because he is an MD. And he was with us, as I just mentioned, on our Tees Italy pilgrimage, and God's timing is always perfect. So we were emailing back and forth after he and his wife signed up for the trip, and he said, you know, I'd love to share with you some of the information that I've been gathering and working with Father Spitzer on some of the newer Eucharistic miracles. He says, I can also talk about the Eucharistic miracle of Bolsena, of course, that we were seeing in Orvieto. He said, but I would love to share with the group on the bus or at some point about some of the new discoveries that they're finding around the world with Eucharistic miracles. And I said, oh my goodness, absolutely. So I wasn't able to hear the talk because that was a day, it was a day after the election. And if you recall, I had to leave our group in Greccio and then go to our hotel in Orvieto and do the show live there. But on the trip from Greccio to Orvieto, Scott gave, I understand, a fantastic talk to our group all about Eucharistic miracles, and he's going to share some of that with us today. So I think it's really going to be informative and enlightening, and I'm so looking forward to having him on the show and just to catching up with him. We've been emailing and texting since the trip, but just a great conversation, and I know you're going to enjoy it. So that's the program today, Dr. Scott and our very own Doug Keck, coming up on this edition of Catholic Connection, Friday, December 2nd, marking 20 years of this program on Ave Maria Radio and 15 on EWTN. Thank you for your support for both of us. All right, it's 5 minutes past the hour on a Friday. Let's get started and see what's happening in and around the world. Well, the Vatican's 2022 Nativity scene will be unveiled tomorrow, December 3rd, at the annual Christmas tree lighting ceremony at St. Peter's Square. The event begins at 5 p.m. Rome time. Ahead of that ceremony, the Holy Father on Saturday morning will receive delegations from various parts of the world who gifted this year's tree and nativity scenes for the official presentations of the gifts, including Guatemala. Funeral arrangements are announced for retired Covington, Louisiana priest Father Otis Young, the Archbishop of the Archdiocese of New Orleans, celebrating the funeral mass at noon. That will happen on Monday at St. Peter Catholic Church. Young is the first confirmed victim of a double homicide discovered this past Monday. He and a second victim were fatally beaten and stabbed before their bodies were set on fire. The second victim is believed to be Young's assistant, Ruth Pratz. A suspect is now in custody. A web designer who won't make a wedding website for same-sex couples is taking her case to the Supreme Court. Michael Kastner explains.
The High Court will hear a case Monday involving 38-year-old web designer Lori Smith of Littleton, Colorado, who says she's an evangelical Christian and argues that Colorado's anti-discrimination law violates her free speech rights by forcing her to express messages that go against her beliefs. The state of Colorado argues that its Anti-Discrimination Act regulates sales, not speech, to ensure equal access.
Los Angeles County public health officials are strongly considering issuing a new indoor mask mandate. This woman says she wouldn't be doing anything differently if masks became mandatory again.
I didn't stop wearing my mask just because I do have a lot of older people in my family. So just taking those, necessary precautions.
The county is back in the CDC's medium COVID activity level, averaging more than 2,700 new infections per day. That equals a 180% increase since the start of November. Daily hospital admissions related to the virus are now at 192 per day. That's a 200% increase since the start of November. Public Health Director Dr. Barbara Ferrer says indoor masking will return if L.A. County moves to a high COVID activity level. That's projected to happen by next week. The Senate is approving legislation to avert a rail strike. Here's Peter Alexander with that story.
The bipartisan bill, the first time in 30 years Congress has intervened to stop a rail strike, will force rail union workers to accept an agreement brokered by the White House months ago, including a 24% pay raise over 5 years.
But it comes with only a single paid sick day, and right now workers get zero. The chamber voting 80-15 in favor of that bill that was passed yesterday, or actually Wednesday, by the House. The Senate, however, rejecting an amendment to add 7 days of paid sick leave for rail workers to the agreement. The deal was brokered by the White House in September, but rejected by some of the unions. New York's Mayor Eric Adams is facing backlash for his plan to get more people with mental illness off the streets and out of the subway system. The mayor is now directing first responders to send the mentally ill to hospitals whether they want to go or not. Head of the New York Civil Liberties Union, Donna Lieberman, accuses Adams of what she calls playing fast and loose with the legal rights of New Yorkers. The Coalition for the Homeless also criticizing that plan, saying Adams is feeding into a harmful narrative that those with mental health challenges are dangerous. Dozens of families, as Scott Pringle reports, are now displaced following a huge fire at a building in West New York in New Jersey.
Flames broke out around 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon at a four-story building on Madison Avenue. Fire officials say everyone was evacuated safely, including this woman.
They was crying, they lost everything in there.
No word yet on the cause. The Red Cross and Town of West New York are assisting more than 40 displaced families from that building and a nearby building that was impacted.
A 4.0 magnitude earthquake struck this morning in central California, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. The tremor was centered in Big Pine, about 50 miles northeast of Fresno. No immediate reports of any damage or injuries in or around the small town in the Sierra Nevada foothills. And drivers in El Paso County, Colorado, are asked to being stayed off the road, I-25, as high winds are ripping through the southern part of that state today. Brad Bauer is a maintenance supervisor and says once winds reach 60 miles an hour for their transportation department, they say the roads are unsafe, especially for semis.
Semis, utility trailers, RVs, the trailer just pretty much becomes a big sail. In the wind, you get a gust up to 100 miles an hour, it'll easily blow that semi right over on its side.
He says his Colorado Department of Transportation issuing several high wind restrictions in the southeastern part of that state. They include parts of I-25 all the way over from Wallensburg to Monument for large vehicles that may be at risk. Around this time last year, high winds caused 15 semis to tip over in one day in El Paso County alone. Those wind warnings expected to stay in effect until this evening. And NASA's Orion spacecraft is about to make a final pass by the moon on its historic journey before returning to Earth. The capsule has spent the past 15 days traveling into deep space, making an unprecedented trip behind the moon. The spacecraft expected to take a final lap around the moon Monday morning. It's scheduled to splash down in the Pacific off San Diego coming up on December 11th. Almost 11 minutes past the hour, it is December 2nd, 2000 and, or December 3rd. December 3rd? No, December 2nd. Never mind. It's been a long week. December 2nd. Thank you, Andrew. 2022. You're listening to Catholic Connection, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. So looking forward to catching up with Doug Keck to find out the inside word, the scoop on what's coming up. And you know what? We're not that far away, friends, from the big March for Life in D.C. That's coming up, of course, in late January. But it's just a little over, what, about 6 weeks away? And so looking forward to covering it again for the network. We'll talk about that and all things EWTN when we return on a Friday morning.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for almost 20 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company, and it sent millions of dollars to thousands of pro-life charities. 5G coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. Live chat and a video introduction are available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
I'm angry, frustrated. Sound like you? Someone you know? Well, it could be any of us from time to time. But there's different types of anger. It's not so cut and dry. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. One thing is for sure, you don't need to suffer with anger frustration. In my book, Living Calm, Mastering Anger and Frustration, you'll learn whether your anger is a product of your nature or your nurture, and how to regulate those emotions and those thoughts. You can get Living Calm and all my other books at AveMariaRadio.net.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. Friday morning, good to be with you. Wrapping up the first week of Advent already. Great to check in with Doug Keck from EWTN, our Chief Operating Officer and President of the network. Doug, thank you for that tribute. That video that you did was great. Really appreciate it. And it was great to have Jack Williams in town with us last night to celebrate 15 years, can you believe it, on EWTN and 20 years on Ave Maria Radio. Wow.
Absolutely. And you're looking younger every day.
Oh, thank you. Your check is in the mail, my friend. It's so crazy, though.
I'm sorry I couldn't be there. That was great. I know Jack was able to go.
So well, you were there in spirit, and I loved your video. But doesn't it go by so fast?
Yeah, I mean, I remember being a kid and my dad saying to me, you know, it really goes by fast, pay attention. And you always think when you were a kid, you know, things seem to take so long, you know. And then suddenly, I think really once you get out of college, I found, and you're no longer on kind of like a school schedule. You're on a schedule that's perpetual, that never really ends. You know, you're just on the treadmill of work. And then when you work in media, as you know, you're always looking down the road. You're always scheduling months ahead, working on projects that are way ahead. You know, and there's always news breaking, and you're always chasing the next thing that's got to happen. And so, you know, it's just very consuming, and so it's easy you know, to just keep going along, and then you stick your head up, you know, wow.
I know.
Gee, a lot of time has gone. I mean, I've been in EWTN now over 26 and a half years.
I was going to ask you, how long have you been there? Yeah,
I came there in June of 96.
Wow.
And so, yeah, that's been a long time as well. So
Time flies, I'll tell you.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for your partnership and for allowing me to be a part of the radio and TV family. It's a joy, and you guys are just incredible. You do so much good for the world.
We're trying. We're just trying to, you know, help push the back end of the cart that Mother was pulling.
Amen.
So, you know?
Amen. So there's this is a very busy month because it's Advent and then moving into the Christmas season. What do we have in store for us so we can get more out of this season from EWTN?
Well, tomorrow on his feast day, we've got a program on Saturday on Francis Xavier, To the Ends of the Earth. Also, a very popular movie we run before on St. Barbara will be on tomorrow night. And we've got something new coming up on Sunday, which is The Way of St. Ignatius. We follow four young adults walking the same route that St. Ignatius of Loyola took in his life-changing journey.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so that's going to be on at 3 p.m. on Sunday. And then we've got Savoring Our Faith, focusing on some Marian feasts with Father Leo Padalinghug. We've got Advent Reflections, of course, that are running starting on this 4th, December 4th, of course, as we move into the next set of those. And, of course, we have those on a weekly basis actually recorded in Ireland. And also next week, Feasts and Seasons, Advent, Nicholas, and St. Lucy with Joanna Bogle, talking about those kinds of ways for us to be able to celebrate those feast days. We've got also a five-part mini-series next week, Lords with the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word. So if you enjoy Father Joseph Mary Wolfe and Father John Paul Mary, and who doesn't,
right.
They're your hosts, and they do a fantastic job with that. And then next Thursday, looking ahead, we've got, of course, the Solemn Mass of the Immaculate Conception coming up, and, of course, on December 8th. And also, we've got a really new and exciting program that we're going to premiere next week as well called The Message of Lourdes. And it's filmed on location in France and also in England, and it dramatizes and explains the apparitions of Our Lady of Lourdes.
That's
1858,
great.
Wow. To St. Bernadette Subaru. And it's similar to what we did with Fatima, where we recreate each of the apparitions are shown. Everything is exactly as best as historically can be recounted. And so it's a great way for somebody to have their family learn about, you know, Lourdes and the healing, which is so important, especially at this time of year. And obviously honoring Our Lady in that way as well.
Wow.
On December 8th. Because, of course, at Lourdes is when she
said,
revealed
I
officially
the Immaculate Conception. Yeah.
So, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, EWTN.com, you can check out all the programming. And don't forget, so many of our programs are on demand. And also, for audio and for video, you can go to our Podcast Central. We get the best of EW10 and also the best of the rest, where we feature podcasts from other great Catholic apologists and evangelists around the country that aren't necessarily featured on EW10, but whose work we're happy to promote.
Going back to Lourdes, I had the opportunity to be there at least twice, and I always remember it takes me back to that beautiful film, that Academy Award-winning film, The Song of Bernadette.
Absolutely.
And
right.
Remember the scene when Bernadette is walking away from the grotto, and her mother is talking to her and saying, who is she? And Bernadette says, well, she said who she was, but I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but I just didn't understand what she said. Mm-hmm. And the mother said, well, what did she say? And she told me she was the Immaculate Conception. And the woman playing her mother stops in her tracks.
Yeah.
And then, of course, she goes to see the bishop and takes the bishop by surprise. Because how could this little girl in the countryside in this poor town ever understand or ever know about the Immaculate Conception?
Right. Anne Revere, I think, was the actress who played her mother.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And, of course, Selznick's film. Wonderful, wonderful film that was so inspiring for so many of us. And, you know, I love the scene in that. Reminds me of that when she walks across the water and she talks about how warm it is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why you said the river was cold. It's really not cold at all.
Yeah.
You know, the first signs that something different was
going on.
Gone with her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jennifer Jones.
She did a beautiful job. But the whole film, and also Vincent Price. And remember the last scene in the movie where he's struggling with throat cancer and he's saying, Bernadette, pray for me. And that beautiful scene where they're singing Ave Maria. And he comes to realize that perhaps what she had been experiencing is real. And I think it's so important for us to bring people back to this, because sometimes we hear, Our Lady of Lourdes, Our Lady of Fatima. As Catholics, I think we're sometimes the spoiled kids on the block and we take so much for granted. But when you really stop and think what happened and what the church goes through to approve an apparition, to make sure it's legitimate. It's pretty incredible, and it makes you realize how blessed we are to be Catholic.
It's interesting because I was just reading an article that's out there, and it was talking about Emile Zola and Our Lady of Lourdes and how anti he was of that at that time. And it talks about how he tried to prove it wasn't true, so he brought this person who was horribly disfigured to the baths to show that nothing would happen. And the person involved was actually cured and healed. And it was so dramatic that he refused to admit. He said, well, as far as I'm concerned, she still looks the same. And, of course, she didn't. So I had never heard that story before or read that, so I'm very interested in that. But I thought that was interesting. I just read it the other day, so tying into that. And the other point, as you make so well, with all of our saints, whether it be Bernadette and others, they've had these amazing spiritual adventures in some ways, but suffering is always
part of it.
And we need to understand that just because you're going through tough times and you're suffering, it doesn't mean you've done anything wrong or that God isn't with you. In fact, as Mother used to say, she felt more closer to God almost always. When the more she suffered, the closer to God she would feel, because the more she would rely on God's help and sustenance. And her fear at times was when you start to feel like you do it on your own and you don't need the Lord, that's when you run into most of the problems out there.
Well, I was talking about that in Kristalina Everett's beautiful new book, Women Made New. I contributed a chapter with GWTM.
Selling
published.
Like hotcakes.
It is a fantastic, the testimonies and the collection in that of the people that contributed, amazing. My chapter is called Surrender is Not a Four-Letter Word. And this whole idea of surrendering, people have an idea that when you say, oh, I'm going to be Catholic or I'm going to be a Christian, everything is going to, you know, come up roses. Right. It's not that we're going to live a life of misery, but you should
or search it out, like some people think we're saying.
Yeah, exactly. But you should have a deeper understanding of the fact that we are in a fallen world and that suffering does happen. But this is, as Mother Angelica always says, this is where God comes in big time. When you go to him and you say, okay, let me learn something from this. I mean, I think very few of us will be like the great saints, like St. Teresa of Avila and others who asked for suffering. But I think what we've learned, at least what I've learned, and I think many of our saints have taught us, and Mother Angelica, of course, when you do go through suffering, when you ask God, okay, show me what I'm supposed to learn from this. What's going to come out? Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. Something good is going to come out of it if you allow it, rather than turning your back on God and getting angry.
Right. I always remember Father Benedict Groeschel of late memory always used to say, when suffering hits you, you don't say why, you say what. Not why this happened, but what should I do with this? What is this leading me to?
Right.
How should I respond to this? And that's really, the important thing. And it's easy for all of us to say if we're, life is good right now and you're feeling good and you can talk about these things. But then, you hit that wall and you have those problems. And it is more difficult. It's difficult for the saints. It's difficult for any of us. Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief. A prayer of, like you said, I know this is for my good. I don't see it right now. But I'm going to continue on because I know at the end of the day, this is what I should be doing because this is your will in my life. And, so those are the things that Mother said. She always said, there's nothing wrong with praying to be healed. There's nothing wrong to be wanting to be, healthier, et cetera. At the same time, if that's not God's will, then we have to, as Father Groeschel said, what do I do with this? How do I live this out?
Yeah, or as Rosie Posey used to say, offer it up and put it at the foot of the cross. Let's just tell me
that's
that
right.
The time.
I think she lived on my block.
or Janet Moran's block, one of the two, right?
I think every place in the greater New York area had a Rosie Posey.
Has a Rosie Posey living there. Offer it up, right?
That's right.
No, but it's so important that bringing these things to people to help them revisit them because we've lost sight of a lot. And especially one of the reasons my next book is about my mom. And she had such basic, a lot like Mother Angelica in terms of the common sense. In terms of the way you treat people and the way you live your life.
Right. Well, I think a lot of it is because our parents grew up during the Depression. Mm-hmm. And they grew up during World War II. And they saw the face of evil. And they saw what it was like to do without. and to work oneself out and to hold on to the truth and to learn the basics that what's the most important thing. It's your family.
Right.
It's God. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really, as you know, I know you do those marriages, it really starts at God at the center, then it's the couple, then it goes out to the children and expands out from there. That's the circle. Mm-hmm. And that's where the strength comes from. But you need to have, as Bishop Sheen used to say, marriage takes three.
Yep.
You need God in that, in the middle of your family and relationship. And that's the strength. When things go bad, who is going to come to your rescue? I hope you're not relying on the government. I hope you're relying on your relatives or the friends that you have, because those are the people, if they're not there for you, I don't know who's going to help you. And you have to realize that that's what matters at the end of your life.
And it all starts with Jesus, and that's what we do here. And I'm so proud to be a part of it, helping people have an encounter with Christ. You have that meeting, you receive that mercy, and you go on mission. Doug, thanks, and appreciate
your support.
Always
a pleasure, my friend.
And we will talk next week, God willing. Doug Keck, of course, our Chief Operating Officer and President of EWTN, Global Catholic Radio and TV. We'll be right back.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I usually am operating on the gifts of the Holy Spirit when I don't feel well, even when I'm annoyed, when I'm down and out. During my recovery from the automobile accident, immense numbers of people wrote to me and sent me emails, 50,000, and they told me how helpful they thought my talks on EWTN were to them. I'm delighted. But I want you to know, I'm nobody's fool. The talks that were helpful, the sentences that were helpful, the phrases that were helpful, came from the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the styrofoam packaging came from me. I did that. And styrofoam doesn't amount to very much.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Believers who respond to God's word and become members of Christ's body become intimately united to him, the Catholic Catechism tells us. Through the sacraments, those who believe are intimately united with Christ in a very real and hidden way. The body's unity does not do away with the diversity of its members, who engage in a diversity of functions. The unity of the mystical body triumphs over all human divisions. There are no Jews, no Greeks, no slave, no free man. All are one in the body of Christ. Christ is the head of the body of the Church, the principle of creation and redemption. We are united with Christ in his Passover. All his members must strive to resemble him until Christ is formed in them. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Minutes past the hour. Hope your Friday morning is going well. December 2nd, 2022. One of the things I love about doing pilgrimage, in addition to being in what I call the motherland and my happy place, Italy, because it's just the land of saints and the church, and it's just an incredible place, is I love the people that we meet on pilgrimage, and they become family members and fast friends, including this most recent pilgrimage, which was off the charts for me. The people were just so embracing and loving and so much fun. Among them, the wonderful Dr. Scott French. And it was so neat because he had emailed previously to joining me, as if you didn't hear the top of the hour, I was explaining this, Scott, to our team out there and the folks listening, that you had emailed me and said, hey, I work with Father Spitzer. I'm on the board of the Magis Center, and I do a lot of work with Father regarding education on Eucharistic miracles, and I'd love to share that information with our pilgrims. And I said, oh, my goodness. And so what you ended up doing, which I unfortunately missed, which is another reason why I wanted to bring you on the show today, because I had to go and do the radio program, but we heard great feedback from our pilgrims because you gave them a beautiful talk on the way to Orvieto, which actually houses the Eucharistic miracle of Bolsena. So thanks for joining us, and so glad to have you on the program. But tell us a little bit of your background in terms of your own. I know you don't have time to go into the whole story, but I think testimonies are really important. And you had a very successful career as a physician, and you still do. But you came back to the church, and you had a powerful experience with the Shroud of Turin And how did that impact you, and how did that lead you to talking and working with, talking about Eucharistic miracles and working with the amazing Father Spitzer?
Well, thanks, Teresa. And I just, before I go into that, I just wanted to, again, thank you for a wonderful pilgrimage. My wife, Susan, and I really enjoyed it. I just have one complaint. We had way too much fun and fellowship. We just thought we were going to be fasting the entire time, climbing hills with rocks and all that sort of thing. But no, it was fun. It was fellowship. It was wonderful.
Thank you. Again. We loved having you. Well, you have to join us again.
Yes, absolutely. So, yeah, my journey was, as an emergency physician, I noticed in the early 2000s that we were destroying our youth. I saw more and more children, I mean, talking 9-year-olds, 11-year-olds, with suicide attempts and overdoses. And I thought, wow, what's going on? We have all this great entertainment and all this stuff. What's going on? And so I finally gave it up to God, because as an ER doctor, I see them, you know, at the end of, you know, their suicide attempt or whatever. And I finally gave it up to God. Well, God has a sense of humor. I'm proof positive that God has a sense of humor. Text the clueless, because I was clueless, literally clueless about our faith. And always was interested in how science and faith are compatible. So when Pope Francis opened up the Shroud of Turin in 2015, I went to that, and we got all this materials from the from this Catholic tour group, as well as from the Vatican. Well, it could be a medieval forgery and all that. So when you're standing in front of the Shroud of Turin as an ER doctor that sees traumatized patients, it's like, are you kidding me? How do you get? At that point, I didn't know it was on the upper 6 microns, which is the width of a human hair, this complete image as described in the Bible. Ah, there's more to this than meets the eye. So I started doing research online. And then 3 days later, we were at Lanciano, which is the Eucharistic miracle in 750, which relates to one in Bolzano, which is Oviedo in 1263, which is then 500 years later. I saw that as well. I was like, wait a minute, this is flesh. It's type AB blood, which is the same on Shroud of Turin. So I started doing this research, and as we all know in this day and age, it's difficult to find the truth on the internet. It's out there, but it's really hard. So I kept searching, and then the Holy Spirit led me to Father Spitzer. I said, gosh, no one knows this. And I finally found Father Spitzer, and that's how it all happened. It all happened in 2015.
Wow.
And so I've been with him ever since. So, and what I've learned through all this is these Eucharistic miracles, you know, it's not just the what, it's the why, which we'll get into. So why are there Eucharistic miracles today? And why, you know, God loves us so much. He's showing how faith and science are not compatible. They're synergistic.
Exactly.
God created a knowable universe, then science can work. If you don't have a knowable universe, if things just pop out of nothingness, if you can change your sections by thought, then you can't do science.
Right.
There has to be logical truth and reality.
Yeah, beautiful. We're talking with Dr. Scott French, who works with Father Spitzer, and he's on the board of the Magis Center, a very experienced physician, and really had a life-changing experience, as you just heard, at the Shroud of Turin, and now does whatever he can, including, in addition to his medical work, to help people learn about Eucharistic miracles. And he did that on our trip with our pilgrims last month in Italy, in Umbria, actually. So let's talk a little bit about some of the more recent Eucharistic miracles that we know of. Do we have newly confirmed miracles outside of the ones with which we're most familiar, Scott?
Yes. So what's interesting is God loves us so much, he's trying to show us, and he's showing it at different times. So that we talked about the miracle of 750 A.D. and the one in Bolzano, which is housed in Oviedo. Those were primarily for the priests.
Right.
Because these were priests that were not believing
exactly
in the real presence.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the 21st century Eucharistic miracles, and I'll list them, are really about us. Just like the road to Emmaus, that's Jesus showing us that he is the Eucharist. You know, that's in the road to Emmaus in Luke's gospel. that's really for us, because remember, Jesus goes to the disciples from Emmaus before he goes to the apostles. Mm-hmm. So that's what the 21st Century Eucharistic Miracles are. So the first one is 1996, and yes, I'm better at math than that. It's not the 21st century, but the results of it didn't come out until the 21st century, so about 2005. The next one is 2006 in Tixla, Mexico, which is 10 days after Carlo Acutis' death.
Wow.
In 2000. 10 days later, on October 22nd, 2006 in Tixla, Mexico. The next one is in Sokoka, Poland, on the same October 12th, but in 2008, Sokoka, Poland. Then there is the miracle in Lednica, Poland, on December 25th, 2013, in a church that's named for, he's called the Apostle of the North. He was trying to save the Eucharist from the Tartars in the 1200s. So God is like, he's like shouting.
Right.
hey, guys, this is what's going on. What do all these modern-day Eucharistic miracles have in common? Well, it's all about the connection between the Shroud of Turin, the Bible, and the 21st century Eucharistic miracles.
Wow.
So what they all have in common is they all have type AB blood, even the one Lanciano. Of course, they can't test the one in Bolsana, 1263. They all have type AB blood. And the modern day, the 21st century Eucharistic miracles, the one in Buenos Aires in 1996, the results didn't come out until 2005, the one in Tixla, Mexico, the one in Sokoka, Poland, the one in Lenica, they all, just by coincidence, have type AB blood and living heart tissue.
Which is similar to Lanciano. Let's take a quick break. More with Dr. Scott French on Eucharistic miracles. Fascinating conversation. The Lord, as Scott said, is speaking to us very loudly and clearly. As he sends his mother as well, she keeps telling us, do whatever he tells you. And the Lord keeps saying, I am here. I am with you. I shall never forsake you. I am with you to the end of the age in the Eucharist. We'll be right back.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. This strange beatitude reminds us that Jesus is challenging us with his ways to heaven on a new exodus. We're leaving behind the Egypt of this world to find the eternal paradise of heaven. When we tend to think of happiness, we tend to think of it in a self-centered way, a possession of a temporary good or passing fancy. But Jesus is calling us into eternal happiness. And actually, morality is a search for happiness, says Dominican priest Servais Pinkers. We're looking to be happy, and a lot of times we end up at dead-end roads that don't lead us to where we want to go. How can we be blessed when we mourn? In sorrow and difficulty, hardship and cross, we are called closer to Jesus. It's God's fingerprint in our heart reminding us that we're made for eternal happiness. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted.
For more about the Beatitudes, visit EWTNRC.com.
Christ is the answer, with Father John Ricardo.
I tell oftentimes an experience that I had at Divine Child when I was a young priest, 1 year ordained. First time I ever really saw the power of the Blessed Sacrament. And we simply exposed the Blessed Sacrament at the end of Mass one night. I encouraged people. I said, you know what, we've been in the habit of praying over people after Mass. I said, we're not going to do that this week. I'm just going to invite people to come on up and pray if they want to pray. And I put the Blessed Sacrament on the altar. I kneel down. As I kneel down, the church is in the sanctuary, the whole church. And as I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at the people there, and I'm looking at Jesus under the appearance of bread there, I saw the Lord standing on the altar. And he's just standing there looking out at all the people. And then at a certain point, he turned towards me, and he just bowed. And he says, don't you see how easy this is? You don't have to do anything. You just have to put me out. You put me out, and I will work.
Thank you.
Having a fascinating conversation with Dr. Scott French. He was one of our pilgrims recently on our premier Tease Italy pilgrimage and just had a great time with him and his wife, Susan. But more importantly, he shared his knowledge and his love for the faith and all things God and all things Eucharist, and even did a detailed presentation for our pilgrims on the way to Orvieto, which was just the God's timing is always perfect. But I'm just fascinated by all the connections, Doctor, between the Eucharistic miracles, the Shroud of Turin. The Lord is telling us the same message over and over and over again. This is my body given up for you. Right?
Yes. Yeah. And again, the Bible, it's connected to the Bible. We keep forgetting that God is trying to show us, hey, this stuff is real. We've lost reality in our current world because of relativism, and God is you know, in a subtle voice. He's not going to shout, because if he shouts, if he did a Eucharistic miracle every day, we'd lose our free will. Mm. That's what happens. So God respects our free will, and so but for me, it's like, are you kidding me? When you start learning about the connections between it all, it's like, it's so amazing. And clearly why he's doing this now. Why are there 21st century Eucharistic miracles? Well, guess what? God knew, because he's outside of time, right, that we'd lose touch with reality, right? We'd lose touch with truth. Like we just said, a man can become a woman, that man is in charge of life? No, God's in charge of life. And so these Eucharistic miracles, if you think about it, it's living heart tissue. And it's also, what's really fascinating about the living heart tissue, it shows signs of stress.
Mm-hmm.
And the heart tissue shows signs of stress because, as we know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays God, and he sweats blood. Well, mm-hmm. who sweats blood? And who does this? This is Luke, and this is in Luke's gospel. And guess what? Luke was
a doctor. Yeah, he's a physician.
Yeah, So what? We know this is a true medical condition. This sweating blood is called hematohidrosis. That's just the fancy Latin name for it. And basically, what it is the capillaries. We think the mechanism is capillaries rupture, and you sweat blood out your sweat glands instead of perspiration. And we have modern-day examples of it. It's a very rare condition, but it happens under times of stress, just like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. So we have a modern-day example. This poor woman was saying goodbye to her husband and their children, and they were driving away, and right in front of her, they were killed instantly in this horrific crash. And she fell to her knees and sweat blood. So that's the Bible that shows the suffering that Jesus went through. That's why it's in the Bible. And the sign of that stress is, like I said, in all of these cases, all these modern 21st century Eucharistic miracles, there's living white blood cells in the wall of the heart muscle. Well, that only occurs when there's stress. So again, Jesus is showing us, the Holy Spirit showing us that this stuff is real. It's living heart. So again, the heart, right, comes from Mary, and obviously God made it so that it was a male heart. But the flesh, which is human, he was fully human, fully divine. So the heart is from Mary, but the fact that it's still alive is the divine. And so what is God showing us with these 21st century Eucharistic miracles? He's showing us that we, because Mary's human, fully human, not fully human and fully divine, mm-hmm. she's fully human, she's sort of that we actually live forever too. So we don't realize that we just pass into another phase.
Mm-hmm.
This is, life on earth is not really our home. Our home, as we all know, is in heaven, and that's what we've lost. And so that's why 70% of Catholics don't believe in the real presence of the Eucharist. I mean, it's so tragic. We have this wealth, and that's why somehow God knew, because actually he's outside of time. He created time.
Right.
So he knows, he knew that we would need this. So that's why we have all these 21st, that's one of the reasons, we'll go through several more. That's one of the reasons we have all these. And again, if he did a miracle every day,
right,
we'd you know, we go.
Take it for granted. Yeah, whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah, we're talking with Dr. Scott French, a new friend of mine who joined us on our pilgrimage recently and has an expertise in the Eucharistic miracles. And he works very closely with Father Robert Spitzer, the amazing Father Robert Spitzer, of course, from EWTN and so many of his great books, and Father Spitzer's Universe with Doug Keck, one of my favorite programs on EWTN. Father Spitzer is just such a wealth of information. I spoke with him at a conference a few years ago. I think it was the Eucharistic Congress in St. Augustine, and he did a whole presentation on the Shroud, which was just, I know you're familiar with it, just blows you away. But getting back to what you said, what frustrates me, and I know I'm a revert, so I get where people are at in terms of not, you know, understanding or not paying attention, but at the same time, I do wish, as a media person, that we could have a big, giant press conference and have information about all these Eucharistic miracles on display, because this, it's so hard to accept the fact that so many Catholics don't believe in the real presence when there's so much evidence of the real presence in Scripture, but also with these miracles throughout the centuries, Scott.
Yeah, it is a tragedy, but again, we're all subject to poor catechesis, and that's, as you know, that's really Father Spitzer's
right
main thrust for the Imagus Center and the Credible Catholic program, which is really about getting to our youth, because we haven't been teaching the truth. We haven't been exposing the truth to our children. And same with, you know, a lot of religious, I mean, when we go around and give these talks, I mean, there are priests and religious sisters that come up and say, like, I haven't heard most of this. It's so sad. Mm. It just makes me cry.
Yeah.
I mean, I've had people literally cry saying, oh my gosh, why haven't we heard this? You're right. It's just so sad. Another plug for Father Spitzer. He just, a book just came out with the Ignatius Press, The Moral Wisdom of the Catholic Church.
Yep, I just got it. I cannot wait to have him on the program on it. I just got it the other day from Ignatius. He's such a great teacher.
And he goes through, again, because we've lost God, we think man's in charge. That's why there's this increase in suicides, depression. That's, again, how I got into this. And that's really... we have the answer to that, and we have the answer to it. Same with the pandemic. Look what happened with
I was just going to say that. You're reading my mind, the Holy Spirit working. You and I talked about this at length on the bus and you know, and in our dinners and whatnot, about the fear factor and the fear-mongering and how so many people, you know, unfortunately, were succumbed because people think about, and you know, we pray for all people to come to Christ and know him, and that's our job. The church exists to evangelize. But so many people thinking this is all there is, and when you and not that we don't want to be healthy and help people and whatnot. I mean, for crying out loud, you're a doctor. You do this for a living. But at the same time, you just said it earlier, this is not our home. We are on a journey. This is a pilgrimage. And so if this is all there is, then that makes the fear even larger and so overcome, you know, so overwhelming in your life.
Right. Well, and again, it's in the Bible, Hebrews 2:14-15. Where does fear of death come from?
Right.
Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened? I mean, as a doctor, I set up for COVID, and we still to this day, people have a huge fear of death. I mean, it's overwhelming people. It paralyzes people. And that's what Jesus came to free us from. That's what the resurrection is all about. That's what the Shroud of Turin shows. That's the evidence. The image on the Shroud of Turin is evidence of the resurrection, and that's what we've lost. That we know it. And then again, that's what the Eucharistic miracles do. So, God is. I mean, in a way, I think he's shouting.
Yeah.
If you connect the dots,
right,
it's there.
Yeah.
Shroud of Turin. There's all this evidence about the Shroud of Turin being the burial cloth of Jesus Christ. There's all, and again, same heart tissue, same type AB blood. I mean, you just, you know, as I say to people, yeah, it's possible the Shroud of Turin is a medieval forgery, but it couldn't be a medieval forgery because someone would have to travel through time.
Right.
Someone would have to collect all this different evidence
right. And
do, it's basically a nuclear image on the upper 6 microns of the width of a human hair. So, yeah, an alien from outer space that has technology that we don't have knew what was going to be in the Bible and followed it to the exact, you know, exact thing, including the state of rigor mortis of the image on the Shroud of Turin, validated by many doctors. let's just say it's God.
Yeah. It really is inexplicable if you know anything about photography and imagery. I mean, it can't be a medieval forgery. It can't. It's just not possible. But it's dated, and the way it's dated, the carbon data testing, we know that turned out to be very false in terms of the piece that they actually used years ago to actually test it. But again, the connections between the Eucharistic miracles and the Shroud and what our Lord tells us in Scripture and what we know from the Mass. One of my most beautiful, my favorite images in the chapel in Orvieto, where they have the Eucharistic miracle, the corporal there on which the body of Christ bled, is the image, Scott, of the priest holding up the body of Christ, right? Holding up the host, which actually is the body of Christ. Did you notice that on the wall on the left-hand side in the chapel in Orvieto? In the fresco?
Yeah. Those are amazing frescoes. I also love the one with showing, you know, Satan the Antichrist.
Right.
That's in all the books. I love that. But, you know, back to the Shroud for a second. You're absolutely right. They did take it from the wrong area. It had been involved in the fire, mm-hmm. Chambray, in 1532. Mm-hmm. And we actually have evidence from the Port Clare religious order that they repaired the Shroud, and that's where they took the sample from. And we know that because there's cotton in that sample, and there was no cotton in the days of Christ. They used linen. It's made out of flax. And so they repaired it with cotton. And so when they went back, you know, the scientists from the Shroud of Turin Research Project, when we went back and looked at the samples, they realized it was contaminated with cotton. So that's why it dated back to the 15th century. And at that time, also, they doused it when the fire of Chambray was so hot, it burned, it melted the silver boxes containing the Shroud. And when they doused it with fire, well, a painting, you know, dye, a scorch, whatever, that would move. If you dump tons of water on the Mona Lisa, it smears, right? The Shroud of Turin
didn't smear.
So it wasn't a dye paint or scorch. And so, yeah, so there's so much connection. It's just that it's been suppressed, just like, you know, the truth about COVID.
Right.
That
yeah, everything.
We live in a world where the truth is very difficult to find. But the light of truth always comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually does.
And isn't it interesting that all this is happening, all these recent Eucharistic miracles, learning more about them in the 21st century, at a time when we're struggling so much in this country and at a time when our bishops are calling for a Eucharistic revival? And I think the timing of all of this is not coincidence.
There's no question. That's how the Holy Spirit works.
Yeah.
And again, this fear of death. We're just coming out of this fear of death. And yet, you know, in the past, we never closed the churches like in the 4th century,
right.
5th century, when the 90% of the population was dying of the plague. They still had Mass. They still had Eucharistic processions, but we closed our churches. And again, that makes people think, well, I guess God's not in charge of death, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The science, the doctors are in charge of death. Well, it took me a long time to realize I'm not in charge.
Yeah.
I'm not in charge.
As I always say, God is very large and very much in charge. We just have to realize that. Scott, we're out of time. Listen, I want to have you back on because I have so many other questions I did not get to. Trust me. We just literally scratched the surface, and I mean that because you're such a wealth of knowledge on this, and there's so many questions I have, but I'm just so grateful for you to be taking your knowledge as a physician and to using it to really educate people on the reality, the physical reality of the body and blood of Christ, because this is what we're talking about, whether it's in the Shroud, whether it's in Orvieto or Bersane, wherever it is, all of these different miracles, Mexico, Poland, it is about the body and blood of Jesus. And that's what we have in the One Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. And we need to know more about it and embrace it more because it's God right there for us every single day in the Mass. Thank you, my friend. Wishing you a beautiful Advent. And hopefully
Thank
we
you.
Can catch up before the end of the year. I know you're very busy and traveling, but if not, let's plan on doing more with you in the near future because it's just a delight and so informative. One of my new BFFs, Dr. Scott French. And what an honor to know you and also to know Father Spitzer, who's one of my favorite people on the planet. And I can't wait to dive into his new book. It is a Friday. Thanks for tuning in to Catholic Connection. We'll be right back to let you know what's coming up on a Monday in the second week of Advent.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home.
Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Those who deny the full humanity of the preborn will be toying with the sentiments of pro-life people. They will say, you can't really believe in the humanity of the unborn unless you support this or that piece of legislation. The pro-life position is quite different. We might well believe that we need to improve social conditions. But first of all, we believe that the preborn are a good to be protected, even if born into poverty, even if born into unstable, violent homes. We want to eliminate those terrible conditions, but it is the height of arrogance to tell human beings like unborn children who cannot communicate or reason or stand up for themselves that they are better off dead, because we know from our own experience that we would choose life and survival over death, no matter how poor our social environment.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays at 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Minutes past the hour. Thanks so much for tuning in to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Teresa Tomeo with you. Thank you to all the listeners supporting us and 15 years of Catholic Connection on EWTN, 20 years of Catholic Connection on Ave Maria Radio. Thanks to my T-Team, Gail Coniglio, Marcy Klatt, Penny McGuire-Armstrong, Vanessa Denhagarmo, and the rest of my team, Jeff, and am I forgetting anyone? Palma, also thank you to Palma, the team that works with me to help me stay on the track, and of course my producer, Andrew, and all of our listeners. God bless you, and we'll talk to you, God willing, on a Monday for the second week of Advent. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.